Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. We have Ray, the Go Home Heat kid, and we have New Japan Jared, and we are about to get into an intense, not so much, week of pro wrestling. We're going to talk about AEW. We're going to talk about Impact. We are going to Impact. I enjoyed AEW, was a mixed bag. I want to talk a little bit about it. I feel like this was the kind of the last song on the second side of the album.
Just like the end to their tapings.
Right. It felt like that.
Block of tapings.
I feel like when we get, it's almost like they're introducing plot lines that they're going to get into with the next thing, and they didn't know when all this was going, and I don't know for sure if this is true. They didn't know when all this was jumping off, if they would be going live by now or doing another set of tapings. And I almost feel like we're going to get these North Carolina tapings soon. We're going to get to the Hardy compound, hopefully get some Darby Allin stuff there and Matt Hardy. He's got a big yard. And
yes,
Archer. Let's do all of that stuff and have some fun out there in the woods. Now we get a Dynamite episode with Jericho and Tony on commentary. Snake gives a promo early on. Archer was facing Colt Cabana, and it was a fine match. We love Colt Cabana.
It was a great match. I'll go ahead and say it. I love the dynamic in it. Colt does everything really well. It did a good job. Both guys came out looking strong. Colt
Jericho put them both over.
Jericho.
He's just...
Again, just...
Great.
He's so good.
And so's Tony. So's Tony. This was really well done. And then we move into Dr. Britt Baker world. Speaking of really well done, office promo by Britt Baker. She has a deviated septum.
She never cheats or something. I don't remember that promo.
It's, dude, I don't know what to do with Britt. But she is able to get there, I assume.
She is one of the...
We originally thought that turning her heel would make her... Well, it made her more interesting, but we
she
thought
is.
That turning her heel would make her entertaining...
She's entertaining in small bits, but just I still feel like most of the time.
Do you ever heard the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder?
Yes.
I'd like to be fonder. All right.
I could stand to be fonder.
Yes. They're setting up a world championship free-for-all brawl at the end of this thing, and they are doing everything they can to give it a big fight feeling. That will be a common thread through this episode. Britt Baker will now have a squash match because her promo was not nearly enough. Britt Baker had a squash match while three active wrestlers were outside of the ring and Penelope Ford would come out later. So when I say she was the only one that could... Come on, man. Y'all couldn't give me a match with her in a squash?
Come on.
It was terrible. She has had some fairly good performances recently, and she's not the kind of person that can do what they were asking her to do right there as a heel. It doesn't look real. It doesn't look... What are we doing?
I don't know. I think that's where I kind of tuned out.
I got annoyed.
Yes, okay.
I was the person who got annoyed when she did the mandible claw thing, and then they said, she's bleeding! She's just kind of putting her
I
hand
do
her
like her going to the glove for the claw, though.
I actually, that was my favorite moment from the Sheeta Baker match, where she's just like asking the ref for a glove and she's getting pissed off. She's like, give me the freaking glove, dude.
Right.
I don't know. I did enjoy
because
that.
Because the virus.
Again, little things she does are good, but just like as a whole,
Well, here's the thing. When you have somebody that's really, really good, and they're 4 or 5 segments, you still get tired of them at some point.
Dude, oversaturation is a major issue.
And she's above average to average. And we're hoping that she's going to be way above average at some point, maybe even very good. But right now, we just continue to get blah. And it's tough to be a fan and get this put on you every single week. Ugh. I'm sorry.
It's not the first time it's happened to a talent.
I shouldn't have got
sometimes people just...
Let's go to the bubbly bunch.
I did enjoy the bubbly bunch.
Come on. Brady Bunch figures, Jericho, his whole group of inner circle around him. We go to each of their houses. We get an in-depth combo between the Pride and Powerful.
Yes.
About who were they comparing to the dude from down the street?
Oh, dude, who was it? I don't remember off the top of my head. One of the Elite.
One of the Elite. Okay, yeah. And it just, dude, that was funny stuff. And then they wound up going to Hager's house where he had to say earmuffs to his kid.
I like that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And it was, you had, and Jericho made fun of the tape segments. I think all the tape segments in the world because he was making himself a mimosa, if you noticed.
Yeah.
Poured the mimosa all over the countertop. And then immediately when it clipped to his face and went back down, there was no orange juice on the countertop. So well done. And maybe he noticed something that happened on a different episode TV taping. And he was firing a shot across the bow there, which he's been firing quite a lot of shots. Hey, I'm just going to say this. Chris Jericho is narrating and producing a series called The Dark Side of the Ring, and
he
ain't getting in the WWE Hall of Fame.
The funniest
he
part.
He done called Vince a killer.
Listen,
Vince walked in there with a briefcase and walked out with no briefcase. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
And him and Snuka got in the car and left. Dead girlfriend, whatever. Lord have mercy. And dude, I'm not saying none of that happened at all. I don't know. I just know that Jericho's narrating.
Jericho, immediately. Producing it. Right after he started producing and narrating, he immediately went to stories that could, that, how do I phrase
this? Listen, they don't put him in a good light.
They put
any
him
of them. I think the last episode's Owen Hart. Man, I might be wrong about that. I was scrolling. Somebody was like, wait till the Owen Hart one at the end. And I'm like, oh my God. Which, and again, we're not talking about fictional scenarios. You know what I mean? This is, you know, one of the issues with being who he is. He's had a long career of things that have happened.
Dark Side of the Ring is really good, by the way.
It is really good. That's the counterpoint, is that I found the Snuka episode fascinating. I found the Vince Russo Cornette argument about the Brawl for It All fascinating. I found anybody acting like Dr. Death Steve Williams at 30 years of age was about to change wrestling in a rivalry with Stone Cold and make him more money than Stone Cold made in that 3-year window wrestling The Rock. It's like, ugh, come on, man. Y'all got lucky Steve Williams got knocked out. Because Steve Williams wasn't going to go give you a promo like Rocky Maivia gave you. Dude, or Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Or anybody else that they were dealing with right there. Or Chris Jericho, for that matter. Chris was right there in the mix with all those big names.
Absolutely.
That's so crazy to think of him being in-ring talent now. And all those other guys have gone on to have movie careers and do whatever. And Hunter is part owner of the doggone company, and yet, but don't get me wrong, Jericho's got more irons in the fire than any of those guys.
Yeah, no, straight up.
You know what I mean? Including of producing a TV show that is actively attempting to bankrupt the WWE. oh my goodness. Okay, let's move on. Sammy had a squash match. Again, I thought this was, Sammy's not a squash match guy. This, I don't get it. Then he does a promo, and
Pete.
I didn't get that either.
Chris Jericho can get Pineapple Pete over just by yelling it.
Right.
Shirt is selling.
Why are they giving
wrestling tees? Because of Chris Jericho just yelling Pineapple Pete. I hate that guy.
Right.
On TV.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Why
go ahead.
Why are they giving us?
Well, it's the amount of people that are there. It's the amount of people that are there.
They have people who could go the time.
Well, part of it
is that like they don't always want to give those matches away yet, you know what I mean? Like, down the line, I'm certain we'll get Sammy versus Trent or
something. Well, my issue wasn't even necessarily that who he was wrestling. My issue was with him and with Britt that they would do a move that isn't, you know, they would step on him, walk around the ring like the guy's dead, or the girl is dead, and wave their arms in the air and all that. And it's like, I've seen that not even slow anybody down. And now this guy's dead. Come on, man. you know, allow me to think this makes sense. You know what I mean? And the other thing is, I love Sammy. As a, you know, he can wrestle, you know? But anyway, all right, let's move on from that. Penelope and Kip versus Chuck Taylor. Orange Cassidy is there. I thought this was fine. I enjoyed the distraction spot. Yeah, the distraction.
Orange Cassidy gets up there and slowly takes off his jacket.
Dude, she did it first.
Yeah, I know.
He did it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that was great. And then when the ref gets distracted, Penelope does the Conrata or the Frankensteiner on him. Jericho called it a Frankensteiner. It looked like a Conrata, but whatever. Potato, potato. It was beautiful.
I'm going to go with Jericho on this.
Okay. It looked beautiful, though, right?
Yeah. She's a talent.
It was a clean victory is what that was. Two salmon swimming upstream is what he said somewhere in there. I don't
know what that means.
Right. I have no clue what that means.
It sounds profound, though.
Coming out of Jericho's mouth, it works.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? What is that? Nice roll-up victory for Kip after that. It was good. Then we get Spears in a squash match. And Spears is good at squash matches. And it makes sense for him to be squashing somebody. And Jericho gets to put him over. This I enjoyed. Moxley versus Hagar. The whole show, we're going back and forth promoting this fight later on. Okay? Moxley versus Hagar, title match, JR on commentary. What did you think?
I did not actually watch this match.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was not quite
that's
what it could have been, but I enjoyed JR on commentary. And the effort was there. It's just, I think that not having Hagar, not having an audience has really hurt this show.
I feel that so much. Every week I'm like, man,
it's entirely possible that I feel completely different about the Britt Baker, about Sammy, if there's a crowd there acting crazy like they do every week for this show. It
makes a difference. Go watch Rock Hogan on mute. It sucks. You know what I mean? It doesn't suck.
There's an argument that is not, that ain't Angle Michaels.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But like, the crowd is an important part of it, and I'm just getting so fatigued about not having crowds.
Right. Which is why, to me, it'd almost be better to put them out in a field.
Dude, just let them, literally let them loose in a field like a couple of.
Right, because we know this is a tough situation, and I'm willing to give them that. I'm willing to say that, okay, Britt Baker walking around acting like she's playing to a crowd when there's no crowd there had to influence my opinion of the unbelievability of this, even more so with Guevara. Right?
Guevara feeds off a crowd really well.
Anybody would. You know, it's what they're supposed to do. It's the job. And so, like I said, I can feel us going to the compound would help.
I feel like just a venue change, because that little venue where there's just a couple people standing on the sidelines, it's just sad.
It is.
And I feel like Mox Hager was one of those matches that people would need to really cheer for Mox to
find it more entertaining. If you know they're running, if they're beating each other up outside of the ring, which happened a lot in this match.
I would imagine so, yeah.
It's different when you're pushing through a crowd. It's different when
you're dragging a dude literally through the crowd to go beat his head against some barricade. It's absolutely awesome.
And in this company, they'll take a beer and slap him in the head with it. They'll do it up. You know what I mean? And you can't do that right now.
What's Mox going to do? Gargle hand sanitizer and spit it in Hager's face? He should have done that.
Exactly.
Taking after the great Noah match.
The great Noah match. But, I didn't think that this was awful. I enjoyed my time watching it. I appreciated the effort with it. I just can't wait for us to get to the Hardy compound and see what they did there. I think that may have hurt the episode too. Is I know that with the Darby Allin and Guevara, I know those guys are talented. They're going to be next week. I know that we're getting to Hardy. We're getting to the Bucks coming back. I can't believe I'm saying we're getting to the Bucks coming back. Like, I'm happy about that. And I am extremely happy about that.
Please.
Right? And I just, we're getting to see what these creative minds on an open canvas can paint. And that's, I think there's an anticipation in that for me. Now, okay, and for you podcast guys that listen to us, we are going to do a podcast with Lit Nick about cinematic influences in pro wrestling, and that's coming soon. It may even come this weekend. I hope to get it out there to you by tomorrow. On to Impact Wrestling, Johnny Swinger versus Mike Jackson. He told you he had a young buck, M. Jackson, to fight.
Oh, this match, dude.
And Johnny brought out the... How old was Mike Jackson, you think? 70?
70. I think it was legitimately 70 years old.
Ripped to shreds.
Yes.
Walked all four corners tightrope.
Dude, I hope I move one quarter, one eighth as well as that guy does at 70, dog.
Mike Jackson.
That guy old schooled all the way around.
All the way around the ring.
Oh, my God. Then killed him with an axe handle.
And an axe handle, of all things. And nearly Swinger broke his arm. Swinger got whooped the entire match and had to cheat to win. And I loved every minute of it.
You'll love to see it.
Oh, so good.
It was a great, great, entertaining little segment.
Yep. Ace Austin promo, followed by Trey cutting him off. And Ace replied with a quick, "How's your mom?" Which, if you remember, Ace thinks that Trey's mom is attractive, which leads to a fight, as often these things do. And they will face each other later in the night. Fatal four-way Rascals, Reno Scum, Triple XL versus TJP, Fala Ball. Great stuff. TJP wins.
I enjoyed it.
I loved it. Loved it. They will face with the North again. We're going to get that again. And I'm all for it. I love watching TJP wrestle. I love watching the North wrestle. Fala Ball is fantastic. And I liked getting to see all these guys wrestle.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Fala Ball brings good energy.
Always. I think Fala Ball probably is just...
Like that?
I think he's probably somewhere right now giving good... Just like good vibes. Exuding good vibes.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? He seems like a great guy. Okay, moving on. Desi Hit Squad talked to Rohi prior to his match. And we're basically... I don't know if he's the sacrificial lamb, but it kind of feels that way a little bit. Okay. Then we have a recap of the Cody Deaner, Joey Ryan rivalry, which is just riveting.
I am stuff. So unbelievably underwhelmed. I hate it.
You do?
Okay. It's not. There's no point, dog.
Okay.
If you're going to do, like, satire requires clarity of purpose.
Okay.
This has no clarity of purpose. It's just them shouting buzzwords that they heard on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
About toxic masculinity, and it's like, who is this supposed to be? Who is this for?
Joey's been in a scenario for so long, it's kind of hard for him to actively... You don't feel like he's... I feel like you don't feel like he's able to get out of that.
No, I...
It doesn't work, whatever he's trying to do right now.
If he's just going to swing like this, and then he's not saying anything interesting. He's just... I guess he's parodying people on Twitter, I guess...
Okay.
It doesn't feel like it has any purpose or direction.
Well, we did get RVD and Katie Forbes smooching.
I cannot... RVD is entertaining regardless of what he's saying.
Even when he's smooching. He's just entertaining. In a hot tub smooching. What wound up happening was Joey cuts off Cody Dean's highlight package, whatever you want to call that, and then puts on RVD, Katie Forbes smooching in a hot tub, all for it. Rohit Raju versus Hernandez. Squash match for Hernandez. That's who they sacrificed him to him, I guess. I am glad to see Hernandez back. I didn't have a problem with this match. You okay?
Totally fine.
Okay. Madison and Swinger interview Kylie Rae. Man, was that good. Swinger is... Oh, my God.
He is in the right company.
Oh, my goodness. He is perfect. He's sitting there. He hasn't changed clothes since his match. He's oiled up. He's by Kylie Rae, who is too nice to tell him to get away from her. And she and Madison Rayne is trying to get Kylie Rae to say something bad about Kiera Hogan, and she just won't until Kiera Hogan shows up and upsets Kylie, and Kylie stands and forcefully tells Kiera Hogan that she is not nice. She didn't want to say that, but it passed her lips. And I feel like, again, she's in the right company.
Yes.
Even in AEW, I'm not sure I'm okay with this whole segment. In Impact, I just giggle.
Impact makes everything work. If you want to look at a company that does, that can, a mm-hmm. company that could
yeah.
and does.
Right.
And they're just a good company.
Now, I think they have to do some taping, too, for... They're going to do a Rebellion.
Yeah, it's like a two-week thing.
Yeah, so they're going to do a pay-per-view, which is not going to be a pay-per-view, because they're going to give it to us on a regular scheduled program for 2 weeks in a row. I'm kind of excited. It feels... They've managed to spring this on me in one day, and it felt already like a big fight feel just because nothing yeah. else is going on, no, yeah, right? Yeah. Right. Okay, Michael Elgin versus Eddie replay, in which Cage helped him, and that was fine, but we won't go too in-depth on that because it wasn't live-ish, and we've seen Michael Elgin and Eddie wrestle a lot lately, and kind of hoping that whatever happens in this heavyweight title match is the end of that, although I do appreciate what we're going into right here.
Absolutely.
Ace Austin beats Trey in a good match. Willie Mack promo. He's basically going to whoop Ace. Tenille Dashwood defeats Taya Valkyrie. Taya loses her mind as she gets rolled. She got rolled up and 1, 2, 3, and then she went to, I would just say she chaired Tenille because yeah. she hit her with every chair they could find. And then Tildra Danny Grace came running out to save her. I was okay with all this. I liked it. I guess Tenille being new to the company needed a win. She got a win over the biggest person not holding a belt, and then that person got to keep their heat by
being mean to the babyface. Ty is not hurt by that at all.
Nope. Rhino and Dreamer have challenged OVE to an Iron Man match. Okay, they didn't actually challenge OVE to an Iron Man match. I just threw that in there for fun.
That would have been that kind of grim reality makes me happy for the one we currently.
They're going to have a Tommy Dreamer match. Because it's Tommy Dreamer rules whenever he gets in the ring. Extreme. Extreme.
Extreme.
Extreme Championship Wrestling. That's we're going to have an Extreme Rules match with OVE, and this should be good. I'm assuming that we'll qualify this. OVE should be able to get good heat by doing dastardly deeds to Rhino and Dreamer.
Yes.
I don't know that what will happen is going to be good.
No.
It could be if you watch it in fast forward, it may feel like normal time.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Contract signing was standard stuff. We have Sammy Callahan and Ken Shamrock across the table from each other. Sammy dresses him down a little bit, and then things get weird. Square-headed men appear. Sammy disappears. Ken chases, gets into a car with a square-headed man. And these are literally, like, I'm not sure how this works in real life because they have, like, a fake computer screen for heads. It was amazing. And then the car was surrounded by people with fake computer screens for heads. And then they tried to tip the car while Shamrock was in that credits roll. Wow.
Dude, Impact GOAT, that's why they go for it, dude.
Every time. And you know what, too? We're talking about getting into a cinematic history thing, and Impact does that every week, and they have been doing it every week the whole time. Ever since Matt got in there, at least. Absolutely. They never went away from it. We'll just go for it, be
it
weird.
Works for them.
Let's do it.
It works for them.
And I love Impact. I love this episode. I love every week. I just get it.
I like the
company.
The company evidently paid a promoter for a show that didn't happen because of the whole pandemic thing. They just went ahead and paid him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's nice.
That is nice because I'm sure they needed it.
Dude, absolutely.
Right now, there's no flow going places. That's big time. Now, I believe they're under different ownership than we've heard of in the past. I think the Access TV, whoever owns that,
yeah,
is now the ownership body of the company.
I do not remember the name of it. But yeah, Access and Impact are owned by the same company.
Because Dixie Carter wasn't finna cut them that check.
No.
She'd be like, I do not. Sure, you can have a check. Get with me. I don't know where my checkbook is now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy. All right, so I had a good week. You had a good week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right, let's move. Anything you can recommend on New Japan?
Or just looking through the
anything
list.
Else?
On New Japan, they have English commentary for the Wrestle Kingdom. I think it's 9 match between Ibushi and Shinsuke.
Oh.
Shinsuke Nakamura. That match is...
Yeah.
Off the chain. That match is so freaking good.
If you're not used to the New Japan product or whatever, you probably do know who Shinsuke is from his work over here, and Ibushi's fantastic. So you should definitely. Ibushi is
a maniac.
Would it be fair to say he's similar to Kenny?
In a lot of ways.
There was
a
time.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a time when they were very similar.
You'll see little bits. Yeah. Because they were a tag team for so long. So you definitely see little bits.
Right. Correct. Okay. Anything else?
There was also English commentary for the Rainmaker Shock match, which was the first Okada versus Tanahashi match.
Mm-hmm.
You should watch it just based on historical value alone.
Mm-hmm. Now, where can we watch these at?
NJPWworld.com.
Okay.
There's also a free match up on their YouTube that is Okada versus AJ Styles.
I watched it earlier in the week.
Would you describe it as phenomenal?
Better.
Dude, their matches, like, I have never seen like two people with more just pure unadulterated chemistry.
Right.
Than AJ for whatever reason.
Right.
Those guys, their little like end of match segments where they like do a bunch of moves and dodging and stuff, so fluid.
Mm-hmm.
No one does it better than those two together. It's
right.
Wild.
Right. Well, you have maybe the best wrestler in the world right now, but at that point he's getting there.
Absolutely.
And versus. Who was, at that point in time, he was the single best in the world. And then you put them together for 25, 30 minutes and
Dude.
You get gold.
They which had a is, couple of different matches that were all awesome.
Yeah, yeah, oh boy. Okay, so for Jared, for Ray, for me, KP, we're going to wrap this thing up. Hopefully we'll have you that cinematic episode out tomorrow at some point. This has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020. Go home.